in our small group, we're doing something special, and it's called Not Questions We Want to Ask God, which would seem normal. We're studying questions that God would ask of us. And so it's been so good. It's been wonderful so far that I thought, boy, this would make a good sermon series. Did I start it too soon? Good, let's go back there. Now, the first question is from the Old Testament text of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, as we all know, they sin. We'll hear the story just in a few moments. And then God comes looking for them and says, "Where are you?" And that started going on in my head, the question, "Where are you?" And I started to think about all the times I've heard this question, "Where are you?" And I thought about how God was involved. And I thought about Jim Schwebert. You don't know him. He's a naturalist. He lives in Eau Claire. He was the one who carved my cross that has the walleye on it. Have you seen that? He's the guy who carved that. And we've been fishing a few times together, more than a few times. And in northern Wisconsin, we had a couple of different experiences that really moved me and got me thinking about things. This experience, some of you have had also, but I don't know if you really made sense of it. And so I want to play a video. I don't know what happened now, but I'm not going to spend any more time on it than that. What it is a video about loons calling at the end of the day. Have you ever been on a lake where the loons have called? Do you know what they say? You haven't heard this? Loons have something they say at the end of the day before it gets dark. "Where are you? Where are you?" Have you ever heard that? And then the other loon that's on the lake, by the way, normally there's only two loons per lake. The other loon, the mate, will respond back, "I'm here, I'm here, I'm here." I did not know that until Jim taught me that. Odd thing about loons, they know something that goes back thousands of years to the beginning of mankind. They know to ask the most important question. It is the question that God has called out. They repeat so that you and I will never forget that God calls us. "Where are you? Where are you? I'm here. I'm here." Isn't that neat? You ever heard them? And so I'm going to make a point today of this. When we read that story from the Old Testament, one of the first things we notice in that story is it doesn't say God said to Adam and Eve after they sinned and then called, "Where are you?" It says God called them after they sinned, and he said, "Where are you?" He didn't say he said. It says he calls them. So the question before us today and the theme that we need to look at really closely and how we need to examine ourselves in all of this is to ask, how does God call you? Because he does. He didn't just call Adam and Eve. He continues to call each and every person throughout time, personally as well as collectively, when we come to church and are together. He calls us because he loves us. He loves us. He makes sure that you never forget that he exists and he's with you. So, when he does call you, do you always answer? Let me answer that question for you. Yes, you do. You always answer. You either answer by ignoring him, or you answer by calling back, I'm here, I'm here. So before us today is the answer to that question that faces you as you come to church today and God calls. Are you going to ignore him? Or are you going to say, I'm here, come be with me? So you have to ask yourself, is it a God-pleasing answer to the question, where are you? And so let's read the text really quick, and I'll read it. You can follow along. The serpent said to the woman, did God say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die. You'll not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? God is definitely calling us 24/7. He called you this morning. He called you a little earlier than usual, didn't he? He called you that hour early because we turned our clocks ahead. And just as a reminder, tomorrow's a very special day. It's National Take a Nap Day, just to help you along. He's always calling us so that we might know that he loves us and wants us near. When we rise, who is it that brings us up in the morning after sleep? Is it not God? Do we recognize this call? First thing I do after I rise is I go to my smartphone, not to check my texts and my emails, but on there I have a devotion that I do from Lutheran Layman's League, and I read that. That begins my day because I know God was the one who brought me through the evening. When we eat, like I said with the kids, do we recognize the fact that our food and all good things that we have for the body come from God? And turn to him and say, this is a call from God. He's given me this. What a good and gracious God. And we say our prayer. When we work or when we study, work is a gift of God. I know some of you may not feel that because you feel about your job. But you won't feel that way if you look at it as a gift of God, as a way of him calling you. It'll reorder the way you look at your work, and it'll help you see that God's purpose in work is all about relationships and being with people and how to further the kingdom of God. The same thing with study as we prepare ourselves to live in the world. God is calling us when we play or recreate. Well, put God behind us and as if he was some sort of thing we had to serve or worship or some sort of thing that was a drudgery to deal with. We take him with us. And he makes our our recreation, our play, our rest in Jesus. And it makes it more valuable to us. As you know, I just took a week, went down to the Keys, and I stayed with another pastor in his home. He opens it up to pastors and missionaries. When I got down there, I sat down and I talked to Phil. And I said, "Phil, this is a wonderful thing you do. What prompted you to start this ministry called Quiet Waters?" And he said simply, "Pastors and missionaries love the Lord, but sometimes they forget about it, just like everybody else, because ministry just becomes a job." He was a pastor for over 20 years in a very large congregation. He said, "After 20 years, I forgot about God. I was a pastor. And I didn't realize that I could take time off, and it was okay. Because wherever I go, God goes with me. And sometimes he's louder than he is when you're actually in your church." I thought those were valuable and wonderful words, and words we all need to hear about whatever it is that we do, that our rest and our recreation is in the Lord God, still calling us, setting aside a time where mentally and in the heart, Jesus can become a new reality to us. Did you know that even as you sleep, God is calling you? Have you ever had godly dreams? Once in a great while. Most of them are scary sometimes, right? Walking down the aisle in the grocery store, baked beans on one side, green beans on the other, you're pushing a cart and you're naked. Do you ever have those? I'm sorry I brought it up. I learned in school that dreams are a way of dumping things you don't need in your head. And I believe God wants that to happen. God is present there, refreshing and renewing you in your sleep. He's calling to us that he's going to take care of us at all times and in all places, even in our sleep. Kind of a proof text to go along with that, that God is at work naturally. God, we know, is at work speaking to us here in his revelation. But God is also calling us in a variety and many ways wherever we are outside of this place as well. From Acts 17, "From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him," because that's how he's calling us, "and perhaps reach out to him." That's how we answer. "And thus find him, though he is not far from any one of us." And so, Jim, with the loon, you know, "Where are you? Where are you?" And he said, there are many ways that God speaks to us to get us to answer back. But he's a great Christian. And he said, the most important way is with the cross. And so he fashioned that cross with the walleye on it for me, to remind me. I said, "Pastor, you need a reminder that the cross is the greatest way that God calls us." There's a lot of people out there trying to answer the call of God by doing more things, by turning prayer into a work, worship into some sort of a job. They're trying to turn the Bible into a list of rules that you have to follow to get to heaven. Sure, God is calling us in prayer and in scripture and in worship. And certainly we must come to the understanding sooner or later in our lives that we must respond to the Word of God and all of the things that He makes request of us. However, we're not Christians unless our response comes through Christ on the cross. It is a response of love, not a response of law. Adam and Eve, they hid themselves away. You know why? They thought God was going to be very upset with them, very mad, very angry, and perhaps turn them into toast. Did God do that? No. God loved Adam and Eve. He made Eve the first mother from which Christ would come. And He did come, gave her purpose and meaning. Adam, He set aside to be the spokesman for Him. Remember, there wasn't a Bible then. But He taught Adam the history, what needed to be said, passed down through time, so that the promise of Christ would never be lost. Love was the key in all of this. Did Adam and Eve deserve destruction? Yes. Is that what God did? No. It's the same with all of you. None of us are meeting the standards of God. None of us deserve what God does for us on a daily basis. But still, out of His love, He gives that we might receive. And in that, He says, "Where are you? I'm calling unto you that you might have rest in me." You know this Bible passage from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Some of you know it very well. I'll read it to you. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he shall be with me." I want to remind you that God in Christ is standing at the door of your heart and He's knocking that He might come to be in with you. He's doing it in a variety of ways, not just here, but He also has purpose for it to be out there, calling you to answer the greatest question of the Bible so that you might say, "Here I am," and respond in a variety of wonderful ways that aren't just good for you, but that are good for others as well. And He'll continue to do that because God is good all the time. Amen.